You are listening to the Daily Homily for Magdala in the Holy Land.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. So the first word is about why we have this special feast day. And it's a feast day, it's a high-level celebration. And the reason is, you know the story of Christianity, the first almost three centuries were marked in general by major severe persecutions. So it was very difficult for Christianity to express itself publicly in the open arena. It was underground. It was a movement that couldn't show its face, otherwise your head would get chopped off. And Jesus himself had some of that experience because he had to escape from the crowds when they wanted to make him king, like we had yesterday, I think, or a couple of days ago. Oh, actually, we had it also today because we just celebrated the anniversary of Tabkha, the multiplication of the loaves and fish. And this was the gospel. Jesus had to leave because the crowds wanted to make him king. Jesus had to go away because they wanted to kill him. And when his time came, then he gave himself up, which is what we remember in the Eucharistic celebration when, and before he shed his blood, and this is the covenant, the blood of the new covenant. This is my body given up for you. So it was free will, and there was a whole plan for that that Jesus was following. So in a similar way, the church also at times faces the persecution directly and there are martyrs, and other times it prudently look for ways around the persecution to give witness and train and teach the faith and live the faith. And so we're at a very different moment. This is just after Constantine, in the beginning of the 4th century, gives freedom to the church for the Roman throughout the Roman Empire. It still had a couple of setbacks afterwards, but this was a very big chapter. And then a huge church was, actually the grounds were donated by Constantine himself on the Lateran Hill. That's why it's called the Lateran Basilica. And the church is called John Lateran. John for John the Baptist and John for John the Evangelist. And so then it also became the diocesan church of the Pope, the cathedral. And it was really the first one in the West like this, so it became, in that sense, a mother of all the churches in the West. And so it was a great moment for the history of Christianity that would be celebrated then ongoing. There's another bigger motive, and every parish, when they build a church and have anniversaries, they usually have a big feast of dedication every year. Why? Because just like in Jerusalem, the temple was the place where God lived. And his presence was there. So the temple is the place where God is present to his people, and the people assemble together and are present before God and give witness to their faith together before God. And there's a beautiful line there in Scripture which says, "And I will give witness to your great deeds. I will praise you in front of the great assembly. So the whole church gathers together in this assembly. That's the nature of the church, to give praise together socially as a community to God. And this is a wonderful encounter of God and humanity. And the maximum development of this is the person of Jesus, because he is humanity, human nature, completely filled with the divine presence. The second person of the Blessed Trinity. What an extraordinary reality. So there, humanity and divinity meet in an incredible unity. Sometimes we can come into the presence of God, but our heart is divided and distracted. Maybe we are not reconciled with our brothers and sisters. So how can we give praise together? So leave your gift at the altar and go on first reconcile, and then come with your gift to give praise to God. To give thanksgiving to God. And this is a wonderful principle. And so we have the same problem in Jerusalem, where the people are using the temple as an area for trade, for commerce, for profit. Maybe there's even injustice involved. And the union between God and humanity, it's compromised. And so Jesus, filled with zeal to clean out the temple. And then in the reading from St. Paul today, we had this beautiful reading that we are the temple of God. So we are filled with the Spirit of God. And we, in each of us, is a place where humanity and God is encounters, and where other people encounter God because of the way we speak, the way we forgive, the way we're kind, the way we're understanding, the way we're patient, the way we're encouraging, because God's Spirit speaks through us, every baptized Christian. And especially all those who have the ministry of serving God's people through ordination. All the religious who consecrate themselves in a special way to be particular witnesses of God's meeting with humanity. And when we go to Ezekiel, we have, in a certain sense, the dynamic of what happens. And this morning in the live stream in Jerusalem, I actually went to the Kidron Valley, where this scene is located, and the water is trickling out from the temple and down into the Kidron Valley. And it becomes a huge torrent that the prophet is not able to walk through. And it goes down and it transforms the salty sea, the Dead Sea. There's 32% salt, and there's more fish there than in the Mediterranean. And then coming back from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem, this arid desert banks of the river are filled with fruit trees that are giving fruit every month, and their leaves are good for healing. This is the message of the reading from Ezekiel today. And that's what happens when we enter into the encounter with God, when the water comes from under the altar to us, the waters of baptism, the waters of forgiveness of sin, in the reconciliation sacrament, the bread and wine, the nourishment that we get from God transforms us so that we can be life-giving spirit as well in the middle of a world that's so much desert today, that so needs it. What a great calling we have to live in the Spirit, to have our temple completely cleansed. That's the beauty of these verses. The church is a church of living stones, like the heavenly Jerusalem coming down. It's God's completely connected with humanity. And everyone is important in this structure. The apostles as foundation stones. The 12 tribes as the gates into this heavenly Jerusalem. But everybody is a living stone, a beautiful embellishment of God's temple. Every one of us filled. This is what God wants. He's not worried about the stones and the buildings and the mosaics. He's concerned about us. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead, so that we could participate in this amazing gift of salvation, which is humanity united with God again, like it originally was in the Garden of Eden, but even much better.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to learn more about Magdala, follow us on YouTube and on Facebook.